Once again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, this time in the affirmative of my position and proposition. The Scriptures teach that a child of God may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of those sins. I want to look first of all at my first chart there on the first one, the one with the, that one there, frame on it. How do the Scriptures teach? The Scriptures teach in three ways. First of all, the Scriptures teach by command. That's not on this chart. Secondly, the Scriptures teach by example. That's not on this chart. Thirdly, the Scriptures teach by implication, which is on this chart. And sometimes people want to know exactly where is the wording of your proposition in the Bible. If you can't find the specific wording of your proposition in the Bible, then you cannot prove your proposition. But I suggest that the Scriptures do teach by necessary inference or implication. Inference, something derived as a conclusion from facts or premises. There are other things that were given here in this Webster's New Ideal Dictionary, but that's what I mean by inference, something derived as a conclusion from facts or premises. Then necessary, by that I mean of an inevitable nature, inescapable, logically unavoidable. I believe that it is of an inevitable nature, inescapable, logically unavoidable, that you can derive as a conclusion from the facts and premises in the Scripture that a child of God may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of those sins. In 1 John chapter 1, we have this statement in verse 5 beginning. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I believe that the Christian who is walking in the light, I don't have a chart on this particular passage, but I believe that the Christian, the child of God who is walking in the light, may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance. On what basis? On the basis of the fact that a part of walking in the light is confessing our sins, the sins that we know of, turning from them as we discover them in our life, and asking God to forgive us of our sins. That's a part of, it's only a part. It also involves worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It also involves the things brought out in Matthew chapter 25, the judgment passage there, feeding those that are hungry, giving to drink those that thirst, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, etc. All those things, it embraces all the duties of a Christian. And it involves some other things that we've been noticing here a moment on another chart. This is an individual, I believe, may receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of them. And again, if this is not the case, then the only way a person can know that he is in fellowship with God is by having a complete understanding of God's will and total recall, because without those two, you could not turn from and confess every sin that you had ever committed. I want to look now at my next chart there. I looked at it before in my negative. I want to look at it now so that Pat will feel justified in paying some attention to it. But this individual is walking in the light. It's just another way of putting it. The passage I looked at a moment ago, 2 Peter chapter 1. A higher plane. Can we reach a higher plane? I believe we can reach a higher plane. Pat believes we absolutely must reach a higher plane or there's no hope for us. Matter of fact, we must reach the highest plane, according to Pat, or there's no hope for us. The highest plane being a complete understanding of God's will, coupled also, of course, with total recall. But Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 simply talks about going on to perfection. And in chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I believe that an individual who is running the race that is set before him with patience, he is the individual walking in life. Yes, he may sin ignorantly from time to time, but when he asks God to forgive him of his sins, repenting of and confessing those sins he knows of, God forgives him not only of the sins he specifically repents of and confesses, but of all those sins of which he is ignorant. As a matter of fact, 1 John 1:9 is the passage. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, the only sins you can confess are the ones you know of. Will he forgive you those? Yes. Will he do anything else? Yes, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, that includes the things you don't know of. And so, yes, that's it, but that individual is walking in a life. He will confess and repent of all his known sins and ask God to forgive him of all his sins, even those unknown. There are some things which must be left behind. We won't look at all these passages, but all these passages are talking about immorality, basically. These things must be left behind once we have faith in the Jesus as the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess our faith, be baptized, and manage Jesus Christ and mission things. We are bathed in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. 1 Peter 2 talks about it says desire the sincere as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. I don't think there he's talking about babes in Christ necessarily. I think he's saying there all Christians ought to be like babes. Just as babes desire the sincere milk of their mother or of the bottle, Christians are desire the sincere milk of the word. And I believe that a person may desire the sincere milk of the word and yet sin ignorantly on occasion. And the fact that he sins ignorantly does not mean he has a wrong attitude toward God's word. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, and Galatians 5, 22 through 26, we see that he must set his affections above. Colossians chapter 2, as a matter of fact, says this. Actually, Colossians 3, yeah, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Well, if a person sins ignorantly, does that mean he has not set his affections on things above? Or his affections are no longer set on things above? No, it doesn't mean that. But he's got to have this, and if he's not set his affections on things above, or if they're no longer set on things above, then I do not believe he can receive forgiveness of any of his sins. If he does not have that attitude, but that's the individual who's walking in the light. Matthew 6, verse 33, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Well, an individual may sin ignorantly while he's seeking first the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, your position would demand that an individual seek only the kingdom of God. If I thought that I had to know and repent specifically of and confess specifically everything that I committed, I don't believe I could get any sleep until I was just exhausted and fell over my Bible trying to find out if there's any sin that I may have committed of which I was ignorant. And I can sleep when I go to bed because before I go to bed, I ask God to forgive me of my sins. But I don't see how anybody else could if they don't believe a child of God can receive forgiveness for sins done in ignorance. Seek first the kingdom of God, that's the individual I'm talking about may receive forgiveness for sins done in ignorance. Seeking first God's kingdom, but there's some things he doesn't know yet, of which he's ignorant. And he's got maturity. He's got to seek for maturity. Maturity, basically, is the result of that, of course, of all that. But even mature Christians sin on occasion. Even Paul had to admit that just because he was ignorant of anything in his life, that didn't mean he was justified. Paul, an inspired apostle, might not be aware of all of his sins. And by the way, you speak of people wanting to have more assurance than he did. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, I don't see how anybody can have more assurance than this thing. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. According to Pat, if you're guilty of a sin of ignorance, you don't love his appearing because his passage doesn't apply to you until you learn of every ignorant sin you committed and then confess it specifically and turn from it. But now I believe this passage even applies to those people. And just because you're guilty of a sin of ignorance, that doesn't mean that you don't love the appearing of Christ. I want to look also at Romans chapter... Let me look at that chart there, please, first, Brent, and then take this one off, and we'll put it back maybe in a second or two. Thank you. Now, repentance, and he didn't answer this question. I realize I didn't give him this chart in advance like he did me, and I didn't have paper copies of all my charts tonight like he did, and I regret that. But this is the second time he's seen it now, and he should be able to answer the question here. An alien must repent of his sins in order to be forgiven of them, Acts 2:38. Sins of ignorance are sins, 1 John 3:4, according to him. And I believe that too, by the way. Therefore, an alien must repent of sins of ignorance in order to be forgiven of them. Now, is that a logical conclusion? Is that a necessary implication? That's just like the syllogism he had on the sinning child of God who is sinning ignorantly. Well, aliens can sin ignorantly too. When an alien becomes a Christian, he is required to change his mind concerning, repent of, his sins, Acts 2:38. In other words, he must make up his mind to quit his sins. Well, all right then, does my opponent believe that an alien can receive forgiveness of those sins of which he is ignorant when he decides to become a Christian? Brother Sutton was telling me not too long ago about a fellow that started attending services at East Albertville. He just started attending. He showed up one day, started attending services, and after a while he got to hearing some sermons on divorce and remarriage. Well, actually on the plan of salvation, and he was baptized into Christ. Later he started hearing some sermons on divorce and remarriage and learned that he was living in adultery because he had been married, or might be living in adultery. He didn't know it for sure at that time. Might be living in adultery because he had been married earlier in his life and divorced and now was remarried and didn't know whether his first wife was dead or not. I was glad to hear that Brother Sutton didn't tell him that he had to be rebaptized if he found out that first wife was living. And I was also glad that Brother Sutton told him that if he found out that first wife was living, that he'd have to leave the second one because he'd be living in adultery otherwise. But that if the first wife had died previous to his marriage to this woman, then he would be married strictly, and he ought not to leave that wife. So what about it? Was he forgiven of that sin of adultery, the adultery he had committed prior to that time? Now, I'm not talking about the adultery he continued to commit after his baptism, if it was adultery. But was he forgiven of the adultery that he had committed when he decided to become a Christian, repented of his sins, and was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and missed his sins, or can the alien change his mind concerning his sins before and without learning every one of them? And you brought the alien sinner in on your chart and tried to make some comparisons here, so let's see if the comparison goes all the way down the line. All right, now, in Romans chapter, put my other chart back up, please, Brent. And at the bottom of the chart, there's a distinction between those who are carnal and alien, and those who are adding to their virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness love. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 7, we are told, let's just stick with verses 5 through 7, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, the only children of God that I believe may will receive forgiveness of sins done in ignorance before and without learning of them, Brother Donahue, are the brethren who are minded to walk after the Spirit. Now, realize that you believe if an individual is guilty of the sin of ignorance, he's not walking after the Spirit. Well, then the only alternative is he's walking after the flesh. Well, why? Well, they that are after the flesh do mind the things. Is an individual minding the things of the flesh just because he's guilty of the sin of which he is ignorant? Is he carnally minded because he's studying God's word diligently but simply hasn't learned that something in his life is not in harmony with God's will? I believe that individual can be walking after the Spirit, can be seeking first the kingdom of God. And so those that otherwise are carnal, even if they're children of God. And others, of course, are aliens, and they'll never make it to heaven as long as they remain aliens. But again, even aliens don't have to know every sin that they've committed in order to see forgiveness of all their sins. Why do children of God have to know every sin they've committed in order to see forgiveness of all their sins? There's a question that I would be interested in knowing. We'll look back at 1 John, this time in chapter 2. Thank you. We started reading through 1 John chapter 1, and I want to notice some more things about verses 5 through 7 here. I want to point out that walk in the light is no more means never committing sin than walking in darkness means never committing a light act. Do you believe that those who are walking in darkness never do anything right? Or are these two mutually exclusive, and do they cover the whole realm? An individual is either walking in light or he's walking in darkness. What if only those who are not guilty of any sin are walking in the light, which it sounded like you were saying, then those who are walking in darkness would be those who never do anything that's right, if not, why not? Rather, the case is that those who are walking in darkness are those who are not concerned about the things of the Spirit. They're walking after the flesh, you see. That's the thing they're concerned about. But those who are walking in light are those who are concerned with the things of the Spirit. And then in chapter 2, verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But where's the end of one of his commandments? You can't know that you're keeping his commandments, then, can you? So if you're ignorant of any one of his commandments, you cannot know that you know him. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If you're guilty of one sin of ignorance, according to your position now, if you're guilty of one sin of ignorance, and you say, I know God, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. Now, I don't believe everybody's a liar who's guilty of the sin of ignorance, but he's seeking first the kingdom of God. He's minded the things of the Spirit. He's walking after the Spirit. He's walking in the light. He's studying God's Word, learning more and more about what God's will is. He's applying that to his life. He turns from sin as he discovered it. What more could God... Well, I guess God could if he wanted to expect more, but what more does God expect? Does he expect total understanding of his revealed will? Complete understanding of his revealed will and total recall. I believe your position demands that. Verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him there is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we're in him. But if anything of which we're ignorant concerning his word, we can't know that we're keeping it. Or can we? And therefore the love of God is not perfected in us. Therefore we cannot know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him on himself also to walk even as he walked. I believe that. I never met a Christian who would admit to walking as Jesus walked in the specific sense of that phrase. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Now, we ought to walk as he walked. Did he walk in the light? Sure he did. Right, we've got to walk in the light. We have to walk in the light if he walked in the light. That means we can't sin, because he never sinned. And so walking in the light according to Pat will not admit of any sin. But the only way you can avoid sin totally and know that you've avoided sin totally is having complete understanding of God's will and total recall. I want to look back at 2 Peter chapter 1 and point out that Peter says, add your faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness love. He said, if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Now, Pat says, no, Bob, you got it. No, Peter. You know, I have to add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness love. You've got to learn every sin you've ever committed. And specifically, confess it to God and turn from it. And only then can you say that you'll never fall. But again, Pat's position is, to sin is to fall. And so when the passage says, if you do these things, you shall never fall, it would necessarily mean, if you do these things, you'll never sin. But yes, I believe that a person can be adding to his faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brother kindness charity, and yet sin from time to time. As a matter of fact, as long as we are adding to our virtue knowledge, there are some things of which we'll be ignorant. And therefore, as long as we are ignorant of some things in God's will, there is a possibility that we might be guilty of a sin of ignorance. But he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and Brother Donahue says, an individual who is blind is ignorant. Well, certainly these people are ignorant of some things, but they couldn't add knowledge. But here he says, and certainly if you don't add knowledge, you're going to be ignorant of more than just what God has said. you'll be ignorant concerning the true spiritual values of life, ignorant concerning what God expects you to do. Matter of fact, the ignorance he points out here is he's blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten his purge from his old sin.